Who's watching me? Welcome to episode 133 of Whiskey, Wine, and Moonshine.
I'm just an average man with an average life. I work from 9 to 5. Hey, hell, I pay the price. All I want is to be left alone in my average home. But why do I always feel like I'm in the twilight zone?
This is the part where my co-hosts, Lady Buddha and Miss Think Pretty Smart, usually sound extremely professional, telling you guys stuff like how we discuss everything from politics to pop culture.
Nobody ever says that, but go ahead.
Buddha did the last two times, but I'm just winging it right now.
Two times out of 131. Okay.
I'm just saying. She brought class to the introductions, but I'm just winging it because I accidentally just closed the show notes when I started the show. Anyway.
When I'm in the shower, I'm afraid to wash my hair because I might open my eyes and find some.
So, ladies, how are you guys doing, and what are you sipping on?
I am extremely exhausted. I'm sipping on the thought of being fully asleep no later than 7:45, as well as the thought that if I don't get a good night's sleep, I can't go to work tomorrow because I can't drive.
But you know what? You haven't been sleeping lately, so I'm actually glad to hear that. Buddha, what you got going on over there?
I'm working. I'm taking a break from work to record. I'm also echoing right now. I'm not sure why. And I'm drinking water.
Well, I have a question, Lady Buddha. Are you working or are you doing research for random things you came across on the internet?
Right, because it seems that
you're easily distracted.
Which, interestingly, the work that I'm doing is, I do have to search random things on the internet.
But dickery or quality? Quality?
Yeah.
On the internet? Because you've been getting distracted.
I haven't. That was yesterday, which is why I'm still working today. Which is why I still got to work tonight when I get off this podcast.
You said you were sipping on something? No, don't admit to that while you're walking. Huh?
Just water.
Okay.
Yeah. I drank plenty this weekend, so I'm good right now.
Oh, that's right. You were posting bikini pics and being all fast out in the Florida sun. We saw that.
Yes, I had to work on part two. You know, so I had to get, like, basic bikini ready just, you know, to be out. But now I got to actually get a little bit of chiseling going on. So I got to be more serious now. It's a little bit harder post-hysterectomy after they didn't cut you open, you know, all your... Everything isn't connecting the same, so you got to put a little bit more effort.
Yeah, I'm be like Buddha back, beach body, the booba booba boo. Y'all, just wait. When she thinks she's got her chisel on, she going to be out of control.
Yeah. Right, when I think it. So
just hopefully. So. Naked, like, all kind of stuff. I'm just sipping on water too. I'm trying to stay fully alert for tonight's like new moon and solar eclipse and, you know, all of that I was telling you guys earlier today that I just feel like a little energy crackling within me or whatever. So really between the three of us, we can't even promise y'all like a full hour show because I'm preoccupied. Buddha is working and Smart is asleep. So, do y'all want to just go ahead and get right into the feedback, Buddha? Did you pull it up?
I didn't. I was just thinking. As soon as you said it, I was like, oh, yeah, I'm supposed to be working on that.
Well, while you pull it up, I'm going to go ahead and just kind of say, because we're talking about the the solar eclipse and all of that, friend of the show and astrologer Samuel F. Reynolds actually posted yesterday five things that you can do to be ready for this solar eclipse. So the first thing he said was, number one, was clean. We actually talked about this in our group chat earlier today about if any of us had any overwhelming urges to clean. But it says that a solar eclipse is still a new moon on steroids. So make room for the new energy to come through by purging what's unnecessary. Second piece of advice that he gave was make intentions. Setting intentions to replace bad habits with better ones have more power from the eclipse's added force. So write them out and keep them. Third thing, meditate, pray, or say mantras, clearing space in your mind and then speaking words of power, either quietly or aloud, can generate more power. And four, and actually I had not read this until the end of the day yesterday, and I had already done this yesterday, and number four was take a day off. and I just did that just on a whim. But I guess that was my spirit telling me to prepare or whatever. But anyway, it says claiming some time to drain away stress and relax, even if you only binge watch in bed, can be restorative. And then the fifth thing he said you can do to get ready for tonight is to immerse in water. And that's a dip in an ocean, pool, or bath during an eclipse at a reasonable hour could diffuse challenging energy and keep yours vital. So that's from friend of this show, Sam Reynolds, and you can find him over at unlockastrology.com. So,
so in the absence of a body of water, does like a shower tub work?
I think he just said like just to like immerse yourself in water. So I would assume like shower. Yeah.
So what everybody should be doing every day though. So
bathing. But no, I know that I'm gonna, you know, I love baths, so I take baths every night, but you know, I plan on spending a little more time in there tonight just to, you know, kind of relax or whatever. So yeah,
get your prune on.
Right. Did you pull up the feedback?
I did.
What
we
you
have
got
two
us?
5-star reviews.
Woohoo!
One was from Karen from the Black Guy Who Tips. Woo, woo, woo. Yeah, I know, right? And she posted this right before my birthday. Hey, I'm so sorry I missed it then. But she says, I love y'all. If you want to hear Black women be themselves, this is the place for you. Also, if you enjoy drinking whiskey, wine, and moonshine all at the same time, this is the place for you. I am so glad I found this podcast. It has brought nothing but joy in my life because I can listen and know that voices I'm hearing are Black just like me. The women are beautiful, smart, funny, and ratchet, and I am here for all of it. Love y'all and keep up the great work.
Oh, we love you too, Karen, First Lady.
I knew you were going to say First Lady, so I decided to save that for you.
Yeah, definitely listen to the Black Guy Who Tips. That's like, that's church right there. Yeah.
I need to go visit their chat room. I haven't been able to pop in on one of their spreecasts lately.
Well, as the unofficial usher of the Church of the Black Guy Who Tips,
you got your white gloves.
You know, let me usher you to your proper seat. And here, take this prayer cloth, Lady Blue, because we know your knees are shaking.
Right, naked ass.
Gonna sit up there in the first pew with your little
bikini. Mm-hmm. Right.
Shoulders all out, legs all out. Just look at her.
You not supposed to do that? You know, I don't know. Cause
no, because you Buddhist. You ain't been to church.
You ain't been to church. I don't know nothing about what y'all talking about.
No, I do miss the chat room, though. Like, my schedule is not, I'm not home. So it's like, I mean, I listen, like, you know, afterwards. But it's nothing like the Black Guy Who Tips chat room. Like, that's family.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
All
right. The other one is from Aaron from Black Astronauts Podcast.
Hey,
speaking of family, right?
No, I know.
Right.
And he writes, still on my list. Started listening a few years ago, and they continue to put out quality work. Dope show. Keep going.
Let me just say, I love that he's using dope, and I'm finding that only a few, well, not a few, but only our age. It's like this really thin age range of people who still casually use dope. And I love it.
I use dope frequently. I feel
You
like
do? More and more often. That's what's interesting.
That's dope.
I know.
But like a sincere, that's a sincere assessment. Oh, that's dope. And people my
That's
age or near, you know what you mean? Little kids are like, I don't under what's oh gosh, you're so old. That's
And we did. We were questioning, I think last episode or the episode before, if Aaron was a Pisces, and he is a Pisces. He had his birthday, not too long ago. The large number of Pisces podcasters.
What was happening around the time that you guys were conceived?
But it's like a mafia full of y'all, like microphone mafia. That's what we're gonna start calling
Yeah, I mean, it's just that's just the sign. It's about creativity. So
So
that's
y'all
one of
parents were creating babies all around the same time. Let me see, March, April, May, June. So the June, July-ish. Well, yeah, it's hot outside. That's also,
summertime.
yeah. So
Parents
I don't
can
think it's that
also.
many of us. I just think it's a lot of people that's podcasting that's
But
spicy.
no, when you think about it, like I didn't even know CJ from Good and Terrible. Like she's Pisces too. Like it's a lot of
A
people.
lot of creatives who are creatives, which is what Pisces
You know
is.
what
Y'all
I
get on my
noticed? Y'all still get on my nerves. Like.
When, I don't know if you guys noticed this, but when I was a teacher, we had a whole gaggle of us whose birthdays were in the Capricorn Aquarius area. Like, just, and I didn't even notice it until like we all were taking off our birthday dates, and it was all like a good portion of the building. We were all born around the same time, so maybe that's a profession that draws those people there,
Well, I don't know nobody that wants to do anything with Scorpios. We
Oh,
just
Sage. Y'all are
dope
evil.
in general. That's what we
Oh,
are.
goodness. I'm about to say,
Yeah.
that's what, I mean, Sam doesn't tweet about that stuff right now, but he used to do that all the
I
time, really
wish
talk
you went
about
back to
some of the
it.
different things that you could associate with some of the signs, some of the professions that they tend to be more drawn to. So, yep, it was interesting back
Yeah, you
then
need
when
to
he
tell
did
him
all
to
that.
start doing that. I used to like to wake up and it would be like, "Speak to us of Pisces, Samuel." And he would go through, this whole thing. I was actually thinking he was gonna do like a series of tweets about to, the solar eclipse and stuff. I don't know if he did because I haven't been on that much, but yeah, I was hoping that he would go back to that Sam.
Is that saying, so you're saying Sam takes requests?
Oh no, Buddha.
Well, he doesn't have time right now. That's why
That's
he's
true.
not, he doesn't really tweet all that stuff anymore.
We miss it. He needs to. Why doesn't he just re? He could re. Oh, he could recycle his tweets.
Like that I was doing today. Get him a bot.
Get an app. Get a bot.
Easy to do if he's interested. Sam, if you hear this and you want to do that, just let me know. I'll send you the sheet that makes it happen.
Make it happen.
Captain.
All right, y'all. Okay. As usual, we kind of came up with tonight's like little topic of discussion based on our like, group chats that we have or whatever. Sometimes somebody says something and we're like, "Ooh, we should talk about that on the show." So we got into the subject of technology, but before we start talking about what we really got into, Twitter was kind of passing around a quiz, and the quiz said, "Can we guess your age and income based solely on the apps on your phone?" So I took the test first. It's not long at all. It's like I think maybe 20 questions or 25 questions of like different apps that you have on your phone, and you put yes or no, and then it kind of gives you, of course, your age, your income or whatever based on the apps on the phone. So when I did it said that I was a single guy younger than age 22 who makes $52,000 or more a year. And it said either you're a single 20 something dude or you use your phone like one. So I was like, okay, let me see what the girls get when they do it. So Smart, what'd you end up getting?
The hell if I remember, that was like days ago. What are you talking about?
I think you got something girly. I
I
can't
guess I
remember.
know I made more than $52,000. I know
Yeah, it
that
was like
much.
52 or more, just like me. But weren't you a girl?
Yeah, I was a girl, but
Were you married or single?
I think I was single. I don't know. Y'all should have like told me to save that. I don't know what I did with that information.
I think you were single too. I also think, if I'm remembering correctly,
I was younger than I am. I know that for sure. And
yeah.
I was thinking, like I was thinking, 52,000 seemed ridiculous because, well, the one I did was the Washington Post, and you know, I guess they could look at my IP address and tell where I was coming from. So it would seem like most people who took it in DC would get that, like, you know, based on.
Well, they did. What I noticed was when you took it and you ended up being a girl, I think I asked you if you had, I want to say Pinterest.
I do have Pinterest. You know, I love the Pinterest.
And I didn't. And then I think when I changed it to having Pinterest, then all of a sudden I was a girl. Mm-hmm. And I think the other thing, too, that the article actually ended up saying was that I think as far as, like, the salary range, they had, like, a sentence in there that said people who earn more than $52,000 a year tend to get their restaurant reviews on Yelp.
Mm-hmm.
While people turn to Foursquare when they're making less than that. So I think we got that because we both have Yelp on our phones. Buddha, what did you get?
You are married, older than 32, and you make $52,000 a year. And basically,
hell, you got on your phone. What old people shit?
Uh-huh.
Well, you know, it was only results were based on gender, so you can only be male or female. You can only be over or under 32. You can only be single or married. You can only have over or under 52,000. So those were kind of the four metrics, no matter what.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yep.
But here's the thing: is how did they do the married thing? Because like I don't have dating apps on my phone.
Right.
So it wasn't like I had because they have two questions actually. They have like, do you have Tinder or something similar to Tinder? Mm-hmm. And then they have, do you have OkCupid, Plenty of Fish or something mm-hmm. similar?
So you know what it was though that changed it from married to single for me? Because I was curious about that.
What was it?
Zillow. If you said no, that you don't have Zillow, it gave you single.
I have Zillow.
Yeah, I do too. One,
so it's some of those that switch back and forth because I went ahead and put yes to Zillow, even though I don't currently have it or use it, mm-hmm. but I did use it, except that I was using it when I was single. So, you know, that was one of the things that switched. So it was kind of interesting, just like once you told me that it switched for you because of Pinterest, I switched a couple just to see what would happen. But I think Vine and stuff like that would make you trend younger.
Mm-hmm.
I just realized what it is that made me a smart single. If you have Uber. That's what they have in the article. It says, as you can probably tell from the quiz, popular apps with no direct relations to your gender or income can be indicators of both. Mm-hmm. If you have Pinterest on your phone, you're almost definitely a woman.
Mm-hmm.
If you have Uber, you're probably single. And also, single adults listen to music on SoundCloud, while older adults prefer iHeartRadio.
I've never heard of iHeartRadio, but I did say yes.
iHeartRadio. Our show is on iHeartRadio.
I've heard of it before, but I don't have it.
I don't have it. I just added our show to it. So, older adults, you can find us on iHeartRadio.
Yeah. And I switched Yelp back and forth because I use Yelp, but I don't have an app on my phone for it. And I used to use Foursquare, but I stopped doing all that kind of stuff. So. Yeah.
And, like, I don't have the Facebook app on my phone anymore, but I use Facebook. So they had, like, stuff like, this is what we're talking about with the income, too. Like, they had games like Fallout Shelter, Clash of Clans, or Clash of Kings. I don't even know what that is.
I don't know what that is either.
But then they have Walmart, if you have a Walmart app.
Yeah. Why would you have a Walmart app? Like, what?
I gotta say, I said no to a whole lot of stuff.
I do have the Target app, though. I mean, because
they also have Tumblr, and I think this is what made me younger was that I use Tumblr. So,
because I have Tumblr, I use Tumblr. I say yes to Tumblr.
Snapchat, I have Snapchat. So,
Snapchat probably.
The thing is like I have a lot of things. I don't actually use them.
Yeah, I base it on whether I had them or not, if it was something I used regularly, whether I used it as an app or just typed it in my browser on my phone.
Yeah, but I thought that was a pretty cool...
GroupMe.
Like, oh yeah, GroupMe, yeah, that, Fitbit, for those of you who use Fitbit, that's on there. So mm-hmm. I have, like, a lot of different things, but I did want to play with some of it to see, like, things I have that aren't necessarily apps that I use. I was gonna play around with it to see if that, because I was like, okay, they said I was a young dude or whatever. I was trying to see what would make me older.
But haven't we, I mean, even without this test, we've already, I think it was Chris who said something about, you know, living in a bubble. And if you are in the family bubble, you don't even know a lot of these apps exist. So, of course, younger people would have them.
Yeah. Or you do know them because of your kids.
I know a lot of people who don't know what's on their children's phones. And by a lot of people, I'm going to go ahead and say most.
Yeah, because you talk to them about Snapchat and what they're like our parents say, the Facebook. Mm-hmm. You know, our generation is starting to do that to some of the apps that they use, too. But we kind of started to get into this topic because, Smart, I think you said that you had a conversation with someone about technology.
Yeah. So she, very nice young lady, actually, one of my dearest friends, and she has hundreds of Facebook friends. And one night she posted that, you know, she had all these friends, but in that moment, nobody to talk to. And so it just, you know, maybe a couple days after that, we did end up talking. I didn't see the post, but one of our other line sisters, like, called or texted her and was like, yeah, take that down, yada, yada, yada. And I'm conflicted about whether or not she should have taken it down, but I'll get to that in a moment. Mm-hmm. I did tell her, you know, we've all jokingly, or a lot of us have jokingly said, and I've even seen articles to support this idea that people who, you know, have these perfect outgoing Facebook lives, usually it's just the opposite. But in talking to her, it made me think a little bit deeper in that we may, when you're on the phone, you can hear someone's voice if you know them well enough, how they're feeling. So they can't really get away, they can get away with it to a certain degree of continually saying that they're fine and turning the conversation back to you. But when you're visiting someone, when you're seeing them face to face, it's harder for them to do that. Particularly if you know them well. But when you're on social media, since so much of everything is typing or either very brief videos, you can also get away more with people not knowing, you know, how you're really feeling. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, in a lot of dating scenarios, people say, oh, you know, you shouldn't talk on the phone with somebody too much. It creates a false sense of familiarity. Well, so does social media. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people think that they really know somebody because they spent maybe 3 months G-chatting them. And that's just not, it's just not the case. And then on top of all of that, I think it's creating a situation where we don't know, well, our generation might be the last because, you know, we're the last ones who had to get up and turn the TV, to turn on the TV. But we may also be the last ones that can really recognize how someone else is feeling.
You're right.
And not how they want us to think that they feel.
Yeah, and even just like you were talking about how you could easily kind of get away with, like, checking on someone without really checking on them. Mm-hmm. Like, you can say, okay, well, I just saw so-and-so's update, you know, scroll past my page. Their so-and-so made the honor roll. You know, their child made the honor roll, so everything's all good. Or they just got back from, you know, blah, 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 so they're fine. And not, you know, kind of ask those deeper questions or even think that you need to.
Exactly, because the person can, you know, say, I'm okay. And so that's why I was torn about whether or not she should have erased it, because, you know, maybe people do need to know that was an issue for her right then at that moment, you know? Mm-hmm. And so by telling her to, erase that, I on one hand, I feel like that's encouraging her to deny how she's feeling.
Yeah, because, I mean, had she not posted that, would somebody have checked on her?
I don't know, because she is not on my coast, so I was asleep during that time.
No, what I'm saying is, had she not said that, would y'all have even known that
no.
she was
well,
feeling
I,
that way?
I would, only because I talk to her, and we talk in a way that isn't just how's your day, you get a new weave, that kind of stuff. Hmm. So, you know, and maybe it's a function of people really only having so many, you know, a handful of actual friends. And by friends, I don't mean, you know, somebody you could kick it and make jokes with. I mean somebody who you're comfortable telling your truth with, and they're accepting of it, and vice versa. And just because you have a 9,000 Facebook friends, you may really only have two people that are, you know, that can play that are playing that sincere friend role for you. And as we get older, if those people go off and get married or whatever it is that they do, which obviously tends to happen, you don't have that anymore.
Mm-hmm. You're about to say something.
When we were first getting on Facebook a few years ago, and I think Kelsey was kind of hesitant to get on Facebook. And when she got on, it was kind of like me, really, in terms of who am I going to let, quote unquote, friend me. And she really had a problem with their use of friends, because she had, you know, the real definition of what an actual friend is.
Right.
And then Facebook just had this label of anybody who connects with you is called a friend. And she didn't like the fact that that was a line that was crossed. So, you know, I think that's an interesting thing. Like on Twitter, you know, you got followers, and I don't know what they call it on some of the other networks, but, you know, some people do get caught up in, I got 700 friends, and they just 700 people that's looking at your pictures, but they're not really, you know who the people who are actually friends are.
And I think we also, this was way back when we first started the podcast, but we talked about, you know, people creating what they want you to see, and mm-hmm. how sometimes that can have an effect on people who are watching. Like mm-hmm. The byproduct of that can be more people. They talked about, this was a study of more people suffering from depression
mm-hmm.
because they were seeing other people's statuses and measuring themselves against where they thought they should be, where if they really knew that person or they took time to actually connect, they would know that that's just a Photoshop, or that's just the highlights. Mm-hmm. You know, the highlight reel of what's going on with their lives. Go ahead, Smart.
Oh, yeah, I tried to do a little bit of research on this, and a few simple Google searches, changing around words and stuff, essentially gave me the same results over and over again, where a lot of the studies are either done based on relationship status or on teens. And I think, as I said earlier, it's a different experience for teens versus adults, because again, we adults know what it is like to have to meet up with your friend to talk to your friend, or to have to catch them on the phone when they're at home to talk to them, you know, to have that human interaction, whereas a lot of younger people don't. Even when they are socializing with their friends, they may be down in their phones. They may be focused on Snapchatting this and Instagramming that. So they may not be making those – oh, these motherfuckers. Y'all hear their horn? Okay. Mm-hmm. They may not even realize what they're missing.
Well, but even when they are together, they don't talk.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And but we know to some degree what we're missing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There was an article in the New York Times. It actually was written in 2013, mm-hmm. you know, 3 years ago, about does technology make us more alone? And they went into this whole thing. And then at the very end, they asked for students ages 13 and older to comment. You know, based on, because here are the questions that they asked us. They said, or asked the students, does technology make us more alone? Do you find yourself surrounded by people who are staring at their screens instead of having face-to-face conversations? Are you ever guilty of doing that? Next question is our obsession with documenting everything through photographs and videos preventing us from living in the moment? One of the things I'm starting to notice, because I'm starting to use Snapchat now, mm-hmm. is that people are so obsessed with documenting, like, for example, the young kids, you know, if they're going out to an event, they're so obsessed with documenting the event that they miss out a lot of times on those key moments where, I don't know, you dance until your hair sweated out, or, you know, that kind of thing.
But here's the thing, children, about documenting. I don't know if you guys remember that show Revolution, but the entire world lost electricity. And there was this woman, one of the leads of the show, who carried her dead iPhone around because she had printed out pictures of her children. So even if you think you're documenting these things, but they're not physically anywhere.
Mm-hmm. One of them was, do you ever try to put your phone down to be more present with the people in the room? Do you have rules for yourself or your friends or your family about when and how you're using technology in social situations? And if not, do you think you should? And then the last question they asked them was, do you think smartphones will continue to intrude more into our personal and private social spaces? Or do you think society is beginning to push back? What's interesting about this article is that even though it's written in 2013, students are still commenting in 2016. Like, they had somebody who was commenting actually as early as March of this year, and even February, and, you know, all that. One kid in particular says, for the past 7 summers, I've been forced to give up my phone for 6 and 8 week long sleepaway camps, and I have never missed it when it's gone. Yet when I get it back and the school year starts up again, I'm addicted. I've tried to limit my social media by taking most of the social media apps off my phone, but now that I'm at boarding school, I've convinced myself that I need social media to keep up with my friends from home. And in many ways, this is true. I know what they're doing and how they're doing based on their Instagram and Finstagram posts. Isn't that creepy? How much are we telling people when we are addicted to our phones and social media accounts? As we get more and more addicted, we are craving more of each other's information. What party did you go to last night? Where did you get into college? What did you get on yesterday's math test? What's your GPA? Did you hear the cutest couple broke up last night? Social media and our addiction to screens is making teenage gossip and competition worse. And it's not stopping with the teenagers. Parents are posting about their children because they are proud. But while they are doing so, they're also bragging to other Facebook friends or their parents and about their child. We're fighting for each other's attention and approval. How can we stop the addiction? Create more apps to track the amount of time spent on our phones. How ironic. So that's a kid, you know, writing that. So I thought that comment was kind of pretty interesting out of the mouths of babes. They realize it, but then, you know, they're doing it anyway.
Okay, so then this is the question. So, because I have one friend who has never been on Facebook, and another who, well, no Facebook or any social media whatsoever. I mean, she just may have gotten rid of a flip phone. It was the craziest thing. And then another one who her account got hacked or something, and she never got back on it. And so, obviously, group outings are planned. Nobody remembers them. Oh, well, I mean, it's like, okay, I mean, well, we put it in the WhatsApp, or it was on that one Facebook thread with that picture from the last time we went out.
You know, that happens a couple of times in our, like, with our line sisters, like, sometimes, because some of them aren't, you know, on Facebook or aren't, you know, whatever. And some people will remember that friend who's not on, you know, social media, like it may be via text.
They don't remember their friend. You know what I mean? Like, they may not just remember just, you know, in a group, like, oh, okay, we forgot about this person in our group, but they're the one person who's going to remember, hey, my friend wasn't on this list.
Exactly.
Or I'm asking my friend, is she coming? And that's when I realized she didn't get the message because she wasn't on this list. I mean, it's still back to the person who you have a real connection with is not going to forget about you. Even if they don't see you right in that moment, it'll come up at some point.
But what's the obligation on that, though? I mean, so you're the one or two of the holdouts, and y'all don't even fool with each other, but the friend is supposed to, let's say you guys, there's something that happens 12 times a year. The friend is supposed to find you in those, hey, it's 4:30, let's all go hang out times. I mean, up to what point is there that obligation? Because, you know, it's like everybody else has made it so easy.
I think when it's a friendship, it's not an obligation.
It's not an obligation at all.
That's wanting to be with them and wanting their presence. So if you want that person with you, it's not an obligation to be like, you know, hey, you going to X, Y, and Z because, you know, I know you're not on, you know, whatever, but I miss you or I want to see you. As opposed to somebody that's really not your friend, and like you said, more of an obligation to, well, this is you're on the friend list, right? You're on the invitation. Cause it's a difference between a friend and an invitation list,
right?
And I think that's part of the thing too, is people assuming that because you're on social media that automatically translates to you being a real friend.
Exactly.
It goes to that connection, cause the friend that's connected to you is going to want to see you there, as opposed to somebody that you're really not talking to all the time, or you know, that you overlook that they're even there, or hell, you don't even miss when they're there.
Right.
You know, that's not, that's not the friend, you know, like, I don't want to say, because, I mean, you still can be friends, but not deep.
Right. It's not your tight girl.
Right. Tight girl. Exactly. Took it back. Tight girl.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Smart, not smart, but Buddha, you had an article about the kids being addicted to their phones.
Yeah, it's really a lot. Well, there's some parts in this comment that you read from the student Jenna that kind of went into that idea, but the fact that, you know, kids have their phones all the time, mm-hmm. and you know, not only are the kids getting addicted, but sometimes their parents get addicted, and, you know, they were given the stats as these days more than 2/3 of kids own a smartphone and 30% own a tablet. They're sitting in a class with little temptation devices that provide a respite from the stresses of high school. Remember feeling awkward as a teen? Now kids can simply stare at their phones when they feel uncomfortable instead of socializing. So they were talking about
the
fact.
Sometimes.
Well, that's what I say. Adults do too, they mm-hmm. said. And they said people like to hide behind their cell phones. So let's recognize that and create situations where we can foster face-to-face interaction. And they talked about creating boundaries, you know, and how adults need to help teens set boundaries and not just assume that they have self-control, because a lot of adults also don't have self-control, which kind of that's the whole concept behind how binge things get started or got started. So they were like, they, you know, the teens will know that it's not the best use of time to binge watch something on Netflix.
Yes, it is, girl.
Did you just, was that shame?
For 8 hours straight.
Was that shame?
First of all.
Hello, wait a minute.
That was an efficient use of time.
Right.
Practicing the piano or writing an essay, for instance, if that's what they need to be
working on. You can
write
an essay about the thing you just watched for 8 hours. Come on now. You can do two things. Hey, walk and chew gum.
Self-care.
No, you can't. You know, in these cases, you cannot. All right. So, and then the other thing, which is something that Blue and I talk about, how it says only 3% of teens' screen time involves creating stuff. The rest is devoted to consuming video and music content. Mm-hmm. So we've been reading some interesting articles about some of those teens that do create content. And so they're using it, you know, they're being creative as opposed to just kind of mindlessly playing some of the games or doing some of the things that drain your brain cells. And of course, there's lots of things you can do on your devices that are productive and help you be a deeper thinker. But we're just talking about, in general, the mindlessness and how you start to disconnect then from humans because you're in a screen and not interacting with a human.
You know what I do a lot on my phone? Things that make my overall life more efficient, like now that I'm not working like a block away from Wegmans and can't go there like 3 times a week, I order my groceries. I plan my meals. I do my banking. I pay my bills. I plan my outfits. All sorts of things. Obviously,
yeah, those are productive things.
Obviously, Amazon. That's my, you know, that's my cocaine right there. But I got to tell y'all, I know a lot of people our age who don't do any of those things they don't use it for efficiency.
No, right. And a lot of people wouldn't, because those same people wouldn't be the ones to carry day planners. You know,
right. But why? Like, you right. have this technology. Like, you know, we've heard Steve Jobs, how he wore the same thing every day, so he wouldn't have to think about it. I do that to some degree as well. Because for me, if I have this technology, I need to use it to sort of automate all of my mundane tasks so that I can free my mind up for things like crafting.
But that's something that you would do anyway.
Right, you would have done that anyway.
You did that at, you talked about that for your job outside of the cell phone, that you use that same exact language, automating mundane tasks at work.
And
personality
the thing,
style.
And that's something like with teenagers, because they use the phone so much, that's something you can teach them. Like the part of the article that caught my eye with something that I teach with my parents when I'm doing the parenting classes, is about like the kids' reaction to what's going on in their phones and what's in social media. And this article talks about, you know, how the teenage brain releases dopamine, mm-hmm. Or whatever. And it was saying that it's not a coincidence. that your 16-year-old is dramatic, when their device buzzes and they see a like, they get a rush from it that most adults don't, making it harder for them to put their phones away. So they're seeking that high of the like of what's going on. But what they're not doing, and it also, when there's a clip, I want to say it's from Dateline or whatever, where it did an experiment with like fifth graders. But it talked about that rush coming to their brains also starting to affect their self-esteem, because if they're not getting that rush, then they start sinking into depression. Well, you can still take that phone and do whatever to teach them tasks, because y'all wouldn't believe how many kids, like when they come to see me or whatever, or we're talking about planning or organization, or if they have a project or something, or even when they're coming back to see me, I'm like, well, you know, you're going to remember that, you know, and then they're like, and I'm like, you standing there with a phone in your hand.
Mm-hmm. Use it.
Calendar. But the look on their face, they're like,
And I'm like, one of the classes that I was teaching, we were talking, that's an article that we read, actually, it's about the myth of digital natives and the fact that teachers, just because that they are fluent in the use of technology doesn't mean they're actually good at using it productive or in a variety of different ways. So they just have it around, but that's not the same thing as being good with it in various ways. So
right, and they literally walk with it in their hand, like all the time, and it never occurred to them. And a couple of them, you know, I have them set up with like automated reminders and, you know, that kind of thing. And you know, maybe like the same like buzz that they would get for, you know, I don't know, whatever, but they have that same tone, so that then they get the same rush to, oh, I gotta, you know, that sense of urgency that I have to do this. Because I'll tell them, okay, you know, pick the sound that you want for your reminder that's going to tell you to get up, you know, right now and do X, Y, and Z. And they'll pick, you know, something like a, you know, that kind of thing. But it just never occurred to them to use their phones in that manner.
But it wouldn't occur to them to use a calendar or a day planner either. I mean, it's back to the same thing.
Yeah,
like, they're using it in a specific way.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't use those tools if they had access to those either. So, yep.
Now, wait, one more thing about that. So there is a study by, this woman is Dr. Bridianne O'Day, that essentially says social media plays a big factor when it comes to affecting, you know, your mood. However, it may not have as much effect on a person's mental health as previously thought. So there are other factors. So, for instance, I'm wondering, and I did look further into her research, and obviously I got distracted because that's what I do, with a phone or not. But I do wonder, like, the kids who end up depressed, or people who end up depressed, are they the same personality types that would have ended up depressed before?
I think so.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's like if a child comes to ninth grade without the social skills to be in ninth grade, whether it's, you know, whether he's embarrassed online or just embarrassed in the locker room, you know, that is, you know, his personality somehow, plays some part of it, not, obviously not to blame the victim, but, you know, I can't put 100% stock in, oh, social media is bad. It's sort of like when people, I don't know if you guys have had this conversation with anybody, oh, my kid can't have nice shoes. They ain't going, they either study or they got nice shoes, or, oh, my kid can't have a TV in their room because, oh, Lord, they going to be stupid. No. It's not the TV or the shoes that make them stupid little losers.
It's the responsibility of what you teach them. And teaching them, like, that's become one of the things that they're putting into school curriculums now, is to teach them how to be good digital citizens. Like, that's something that we're having to try to teach them, because it's a different type of citizenship. When we used to have citizenship, you know, in our generation, it was completely different. I do think there's some caveats that we didn't have to deal with. Like, for example, when you think about the embarrassment factor of something that happens to a teenager, whereas if an incident happened in a school, it could be isolated to that school or maybe like a couple of the neighboring schools or whatever. Mm-hmm. But now if a child is humiliated or something happened, that thing can go viral in a heartbeat.
And it that's can go something, viral, but it can be replaced with something else. Something just as more salacious 15 minutes later.
Yeah,
you know,
but,
like,
but
even if it stays online.
But even if you're still talking about that, and you're still talking about that child in that moment, when as teenagers, when things happen to them, their brains are that this is
they're so impulsive
and everything is so now and everything is so about me that 15 minutes later doesn't matter because
it seems like a lifetime.
That's something that they're having to deal with, and even parents and schools are having to deal with that we never really had to. Remember when we had slam books?
Yep.
You know, and those were isolated. I remember the big thing, Buddha, I don't know if you remember this, but the Purple Cow. Do you remember the Purple Cow from high school? Mm-hmm. It was a newspaper, and it was distributed throughout Atlanta Public Schools. So you could write messages, you could, you know, and people used to subtweet. Or sub ad, you know, or whatever. So you could be sending a message to somebody at Washington High School. And I think it came out like maybe once every 2 weeks. But it was the big thing. Like people would have the newspaper to see who said who about what school wide. Mm-hmm. That was our version of something going viral.
So let me ask
you. Even still, it was a newspaper.
Do you think that parents should, because I had this conversation with someone, I've had it several times actually. And he said, I don't want to know, but do you think that before you give your child any device, you should already have Spyware on it?
I would.
I would too, but we don't have children. So, you know, I mean, even though we've worked with children, you're around children every day. I get from a lot of, like, I know a lot of parents of tweens and teenagers, and only one put something on his child's phone before he gave it to them. Well, the oldest one, he's in college now. And he is the only one, not only who had spyware on it, but who the child had no freaking idea. The father took the time to figure out, I'm going to outsmart him before we even get out the gate.
Well, I don't necessarily think spyware is necessary. I would do it for me because that's who I am. But I would also, if I didn't have the spyware, spy on my child with other means. I think that a lot of parents, because here's the thing, you don't have to necessarily have spyware to find out what they're doing. But a lot of parents don't.
They don't check.
Right, they don't check anything. So even if somebody loaded spyware on their phone, some of those same people wouldn't even go back to check to look at, you know.
But then those same people also don't ever go in their children's room.
Right. I was just about to say that. So, they don't check book bags. They
but
don't.
I remember, I know what type of child I was. And if I had children or was in charge of any children, I would expect no less from them because that's the way Jesus works. And that's the reason that I was the way I was. And the reason my brother was the way he was because of my mom was the last. So children are fucking stupid. We've all been them. They're stupid. They can't be trusted. And all you can do is, you know, hope to raise them where they when they do have choices to make, they make a choice that isn't long-term detrimental. That's it, because they're so fucking stupid.
Yeah, I mean, I remember when, you know, when I was raising my niece, I didn't have, when I gave her first phone, I didn't have spyware on her phone, but I was also so far up in her business that she didn't know the whatever that I knew that I was checking on her, but it was because I that was the type of person that I was, you know, with her. It wasn't, and I would have done that either way. Like, she didn't give me a reason not to trust her. I just wanted to know what was going on so I would be aware, even, and we had good conversations, but just in case, you know, I wanted to know. And then I would find out stuff about her friends, and I'm like, how could the parent not know, you know, X, Y, and Z?
They don't want to know. Because you can't, we've had this conversation before about watching little girls and knowing when they start fucking. Parents just don't want to know.
And I think, too, a lot of them wouldn't even know, I don't know, wouldn't even know where to begin in this generation with them, because even with things that you put on their phone and even with, you know, all this stuff, I was just having this conversation. We were talking about this new cheating thing that's happening with the kids. Mm-hmm. Anytime that you think you have a heads up on what they're doing, they've created the next thing. So trying to rely on an app or a device to catch everything isn't going to do anything at all if you're not using your good common sense and intuition.
But again, so we, going back to this survey, we have access and knowledge probably 80% more of people whose children have all these things on their phone. Now, obviously, children have more stuff, but there was, I mean, I don't know. There's just, it's like not knowing your children's friends. Like, that's, I mean, that's crazy.
That's crazy to me. To you, but.
And I know it happens, just like, you know, with the phone stuff. I know it happens. I know that people right now don't understand that taking a child's phone away means nothing if they also have an Apple computer and an Apple pad. If they don't take the phone away, what? I mean, like, they don't have iMessage.
Mm-hmm. Or you turn your child's phone off. You think you've done something because you turn your child's phone off. And they still have access to Wi-Fi and all the apps that are downloaded on Wi-Fi. So you can, you know, you could turn it off, but it's still on.
Right. Like, I don't know. It's just, it's parenting is just a full-time job. And it amazes me. I mean, I take seriously vacuuming my carpet. So when people want to make little human beings without understanding that it's a full-time job, or maybe they don't know what a full-time job is.
Maybe a lot of them just don't even know what it can be, because I think now it could be so overwhelming with all the stuff that the kids have access to. Because our parents, you know, even with, I'm just thinking about like porn nowadays. I remember when our parents had lock boxes on televisions, uh-huh. and blah, 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 blah. And parents don't even realize that if their child is on Twitter, 10 times out of 10, they're uh-huh. exposed to porn just being on Twitter.
And you don't, they don't even have to, it's just so lazy, they don't even have to go looking for it, it's just bam.
No,
right,
it's
there.
Because it's so normal to them now with the stuff that they're following the same accounts that adults are following, like the sexual gifts or, you know, whatever, that are being retweeted. So it's in their child's timeline and they didn't even have to go looking for it, their friend retweeted it. So I mean, there's so much out there that's just, it's kind of crazy to try to keep up with it all. I do want to talk about one more thing though, before we wrap it up. And Smart, did you start watching House of Cards this week?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did.
You took over the new booty.
I watched all 13 episodes.
Okay, good.
For Lady Buddha, all 13.
Well, I wanted to talk about Governor New Booty. That's Will Conway and mm-hmm. family. And the reason that I wanted to talk was because of the technology thing. Let me just go ahead and say, spoiler alert, because I don't know what we're about to say. But if you haven't watched all of House of Cards, you may just want to skip on to the cheers. You know, but I did want to talk about how, and I call him Governor New Booty because he was kind of cute when first got up on the scene, but how he was using the tracking data, or he was using, was it a search engine?
Yep, search engine.
Yeah,
and it was you know, manipulating what came up when somebody searched for candidates and stuff. Yeah,
right. How he was using that to, you know, kind of help him with his campaign. The first thing that I noticed about him when compared to Frank, he and his wife and, you know, their whole family, they kind of represented the millennial power couple. Like, they created their brand via social mm-hmm. media. We saw the wife Instagramming their whole lives, which made them seem like they were accessible, you know, mm-hmm. to the public. So even to the fact where once they started getting caught with tracking the data, he was even able to use that same thing to say, hey, well, let me give you my phone. And we've, you know, recorded mm-hmm. all these moments. So now you can see into our inner lives. And all of a sudden, it's like a highlight reel.
Yeah, and it made the people feel like they knew them intimately and made them trust. It was building fake trust.
Mm-hmm. And that brings me to the question with both of y'all, because this is something, and I put like in my little notes or whatever, it's something that I personally struggle with, especially since I'm trying to like kind of build the whole self-care thing and, you know, get people involved or whatever. How much personal access, like in a social media age where people connect to you based on what they feel like they're getting to know about you, like, how much personal access or seeming personal access do you think people should kind of give in that particular situation? Like, do you feel like Governor New Booty's strategy was a good one?
Yeah, if you want to get elected.
Yeah. It reminded me of the Obamas, too, except for they didn't do that. But what they did.
No.
What I mean as far as like, because I feel like the Obamas were created via social media. The loving of them was created via social media, but they didn't do it. I think we did it, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
like when we took, like when we look at the pictures of them, or when they allow access to people to take pictures and create, you know, whatever, it allowed us to connect with them in a way more so than Michelle showing home videos. You know, so I was just trying to see, like, I don't know what you guys think about, like, how can people use that to their advantage when they're trying to build something, I guess. I'm asking that question right.
Yeah, I mean, it is tricky. I mean, just in terms of them specifically, because he is the first president that existed in the fishbowl era, right? And so when he came to the White House, it was a big deal because they didn't even have the technology that would allow him, like he had to break his BlackBerry or whatever was So it wasn't even an option for them to be the ones pushing all that out at that time because they didn't have that level of access. That came over time. So even though we had the official White House photographer and whatnot, people weren't on Instagram and all those places at the time. Like all of that came together while they were there. So they benefited from, you know, the fact that those things exist and people were interested in what they call in research circles, critical making or showing images on purpose that counteract the negative images that may have been out there. Because remember when Michelle was, you know, they had all this negative out there, Michelle, and she's saying about, I hate Whitey and all this other stuff. That was supposed to be the downfall, and she was mean and evil, and you know, that was the image, the prevailing image. And so people who were protective of her worked hard to counter that with images that were different. That was part of, I think, you know, us as citizens, and then also the PR from there. So I think looking now, if we see characters or whoever and a president who will come now, they can do these sorts of things on purpose. Like we see, for instance, Donald Trump running his whole campaign on Twitter and social media and, you know, all of this sort of stuff on purpose. But that's because it exists now. And so people can make different types of decisions now. But I do think it's, you know, depending on what you want to accomplish, helpful to allow some level of access. Just because, again, that is how people stay connected. I mean, when some people, you know, get on Twitter and new people still get on Twitter, for instance, those of us who are really interested in what they have to say are excited. Like, oh, such and such is on Twitter. This is somebody who's thinking I really like. Now, sometimes it turns out to be a shit show. You know, you know, but
so where crushes go to die.
Yeah, well, that's true, right? So it's kind of like you have to, you know, but that goes back to what kind of person were you? We just didn't see it.
But I think also part of that is your audience has to want to see you in a certain light. So, for instance, the ease in which a certain very small segment jumped on top of the, oh, Melissa Harris Perry quit her job over Beyonce, that was because they wanted to see that in a black woman. You know, they wanted to see this rash decision. But then if we were to, you know, logical people look at the Donald Trump rallies and we're like, okay, they're a bunch of crazy ass racists. Well, there's also a segment who don't want to see that. Like I've been telling people, you know, for years, you know, a lot of my black cohorts have said Republicans are racist, and our Republican black friends and our Republican white friends said no, everybody's not like that. It's only a very small percentage of them. And now I can go back and pettily pull up those conversations, screenshot them, and be like, now see, these were the Republicans we were talking about, those ones right there in the audience, the ones that these people are getting fired, they sit next to black people probably at their jobs. But I have to be willing to want to see the images that I'm, to swallow the images that are being fed to me, or not want to swallow them. Because even with Michelle Obama, you know, they put, you know, there was an effort, well, I mean, she is not a, I can't even get it out. You know, this hardened, masculine black woman who screams and yells, she's not that. Images came out to say that, you know, proving that she wasn't that. But there are still people, that's not the image that they refuse to swallow that image.
That's true.
And Buddha, you're absolutely right. I do remember when she, because she didn't want to to be in the spotlight. And we talked about that on the Black Excellence show, how she was like, I don't even want to come to the White House, you know, whatever. And then when she started getting that backlash, then we did see like this push to use social media to change that image, you know, of her. And that's when we start to see more of the family photos and more of the her, you know, being in her, you know, element, you know, or whatever. So if people wanted to, going back to dinner. Slaying, yes. Or, you know, and going back to what Smart said, if somebody wanted to see a different image of her, now there's a, you know, there's something else than besides, you know, if somebody wants to see something different from her, they can actually see that.
One other thing too about social media, it's not controlled by big media to the same level as, well, media, like television media or print media. You know, if I, well, Facebook is starting to do this, where they're controlling, actually not starting, but Facebook does this, YouTube does this, controls which things get suggested, which things
right.
Wind up in your timeline, your Facebook wall. Twitter does it, is starting to do it, but it's not to the same level as a print newspaper where we're all reading the Washington Post. We're all getting it in the morning. It's not changing for several hours until the next printing. And whatever story that whatever slant that reporter decides to push out is what we get. Whatever facts, they may have gathered 12,000 facts and have decided to only focus on three. And that's what we get.
And even talking about branding, what you and your team may come up with branding, once it becomes public consumption, the public can use it any way you want to. Like we've seen, for example, I'm going back to Hillary and the Kwanzaa H, you know, if your brand, your strategy people are saying, okay, hey, this can be used in this kind of way, Twitter is the first place to go to destroy what somebody's hard work was, mm-hmm. you know, to be seen in one way, and they will turn it into a mockery or a joke, you know, in a whole nother way. You know what I'm saying? So, like, you can have, like you're saying with, you know, like how with the newspapers and people working hard to get this image or this, you know, message out to people. Once it gets out now and it's taken a certain way, it can go in a completely different direction. So it's all very interesting, just this whole technology, this whole, you know, social media, you know, whatever, that can all come back. So y'all got any other like wrap up things about technology or social media or, you know, anything?
When I had my BlackBerry, my thumb swole up 1 year. And this is not funny. This is a medical situation. And I went to the doctor and they sent me to like a specialist and he would not diagnose me with arthritis, but that's what I had. And well, the buds of arthritis. And I truly believe now that I have the iPhone and I'm just tapping the screen lightly, that my thumbs have really benefited from it.
The not having to do the
push the buttons, yeah.
Pushing the buttons. Yeah, yep. I forgot all about that with the BlackBerry. Like, I remember I held out. Remember, y'all all
had
touch
screen. You were a late adopter.
Man, I was like, I don't want a touch screen. What are y'all talking about? This sorcery you have. And now I couldn't imagine my life without it.
Mm-hmm.
Buddha, you got any last minute technology? Thoughts?
No, just to say that, you know, there's all types of connections and you can connect differently whether you're talking about a static use of technology. So, for instance, if I'm just reading words on a page or seeing a still image versus a dynamic use, if I'm looking at a video and talking to you in real time. So, you know, I don't think we can just make blanket statements about whether tech is good or not good or social media is good or not good, because just like anything else, it just depends on what you're talking about exactly and how you're using it and why. So that's it.
Okay. Yep. Well, ladies, I'm going to go ahead and let you guys give your cheers if you have any, and then your handles and all that good stuff. Buddha, we'll continue with you. Tell people where they can find you and cheers and blah, 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 blah.
I don't have any cheers right now, except for cheers to the Florida sunshine. I was glad to be in it. Ha ha ha. And I'm glad that it came and followed me here into Georgia. So that was exciting. But you can catch me on Twitter at NDCHARP, like the instrument, NDC Harp, or on CocoStudio.com, COCO Studio singular, CocoStudio.com.
And smart, where can they find you?
Well, I have a
Achieve.
cheers. Yeah, my cheers is to this guy, Edwin Raphael, who is the was named the general manager of Genesis Motors USA, and he also co-chairs their Hyundai's Diversity Council. So hip hip hooray for him. Yeah, he took on those duties as of, well, they announced it before March 1st, but March 1st was, I guess, his first official day with the good parking space. With regard to where I can be found, I am on Twitter at think underscore p underscore smart. And yeah, that's it.
Okay, and of course, my name is Sojo, and you guys can find me on Twitter at SOJOXOXO. That's SOJOXOXO, like the hugs and kisses. No. And my website is phenomenal.com, PHYINOMENAL .com. And my cheers is going to go to all of the ladies out there. It's International Women's Day today. And I've seen on social media where, of course, a lot of people were like, celebrating a lot of big, like, women's achievements and, that kind of thing. But what I enjoyed seeing, just on the web was just people celebrating just like normal everyday women, like, give a shout out to the women that you enjoy, blah 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 blah. So that's been cool to see all day. So ladies, cheers to us all on this International Women's Day. And you guys can find us collectively at whiskeywineandmoonshine.com. That's our website. You guys can also just Google us and it'll bring up our Facebook page, all of that stuff. Our Twitter handle is at whiskeywinemoon. We are on Podomatic, iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, and iHeartRadio for the older listeners. And also, please leave us 5-star reviews. We will definitely read, your 5-star complimentary reviews. You guys can also email us at feedback@whiskeywineandmoonshine.com and just holler at us. Let us know what you think about the episodes, or if you have like any of your own technology stories, let us know what you think. And with that, we will sign off and see you guys next time. Cheers.
I always feel